Working. Yeah. See if the technology is working today. See if we can get the PowerPoint up this week. Let's just pray. Father, we thank you for our connection to you. And we pray that as we explore that today, that you would just help us to plug in to all that you are, all that you have, and all that you want to give us. In Jesus' name, amen. So I've started a series called Connections, and before I start sort of talking about that, let's read a passage from the Old Testament, Deuteronomy chapter 30, and I'm going to read verses 11 to 20, and hopefully as we go on it'll become clear why I'm referring to this passage. So Deuteronomy 30 and verses 11 to 20, and that says, "Now what I am commanding you today is not too difficult for you or beyond your reach. It is not up in heaven so that you have to ask who will ascend into heaven to get it and proclaim it to us so we may obey it. Nor is it beyond the sea so that you have to ask who will cross the sea to get it and proclaim it to us so we may obey it. No, the word is very near you. It is in your mouth and in your heart so that you may obey it. See, I set before you today life and prosperity, death and destruction. For I command you today to love the Lord your God, to walk in obedience to him, and to keep his commands, decrees and laws. Then you will live and increase, and the Lord your God will bless you in the land you are entering to possess. But if your heart turns away and you're not obedient, and if you're drawn away to bow down to other gods and worship them, I declare to you this day that you will certainly be destroyed. You will not live long in the land you are crossing the Jordan to enter and possess. This day I call the heavens and the earth as witnesses against you that I have set before you life and death, blessings and curses. Now choose life so that you and your children may live and that you may love the Lord your God, listen to his voice and hold fast to him. For the Lord is your life and he will give you many years in the land he swore to give to your fathers, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob." Gary, Pete's just come. Can you go and see him? Pete, at the back. Brought the disc, I think.
The disc.
Pete Davis.
Oh,
wow. Okay, so as I say, we're talking about connections. And last time, we said, obviously, that can mean lots of different things. So we're looking at it. When we're talking about referring to a relationship between two things, people or groups. I think that's the next slide, Stephen. So that's the definition of what we're talking about when we're talking about connections. And we talked about the need for connections and for relationships and said that we need both horizontal and vertical relationships and connections, yeah? So we were saying essentially that if we only focus on one of those kind of connections, we're going to miss out in some way. If we only focus on the horizontal, on our relationships with each other, we're missing that connection to God. If we only concentrate on the connection, the vertical connection to God, we're missing out on all the relationships here that God wants us to have. Revelation 4 and verse 11 says that all things were created by God's will. And in one version of the Bible, it says that we were created for God's pleasure, for thy pleasure. You know, God made us for himself. But he also said, you know, it's not good for us to be alone. And, you know, when he created Adam, he also created Eve for relationships. And so church is a place where love's shared freely, where relationships matter. Because our relationships with each other mirror the relationship in the Godhead between Father, Son and Spirit. But of course, as we all know, it's very easy for connections to be broken. Yeah, and anybody who uses the internet regularly will have seen this sign at some point on your device that says there's no connection or unable to connect to the internet. And you kind of, your heart sinks, doesn't it, when you see that sign, because we've got so used to easy access to information. You know, to be able to access the internet from all kinds of things, smartwatches and mobile phones and tablets and, you know, desktop computers. You can, you know, access the internet from so many devices. So when we see that sign, it's kind of like, oh, you know, however did I manage before the internet type of thing. And effectively, we were all in that position regarding God, because we were dead in transgressions and in sin, Ephesians tells us. We were far away from God. We were alienated because of that first mistake that Gary was talking about at the start in Genesis 3 when Adam and Eve sinned. And Paul tells us in Romans 5 that sin entered the world through one man, and because of sin, death came. And so the relationship that Adam had enjoyed with God in the Garden of Eden was broken. It was lost because of his disobedience. And so because of that, we all need to be reconnected to God. And that reconnection can occur because Jesus came to bring reconciliation with God. He took our sins upon himself, and he was willing to be that atoning sacrifice for our sins. And so that one righteous act resulted in justification and in life for all of us. The sin of the whole world was laid on Christ's shoulders. And because of that, we now can become the righteousness of God, and we can be reconnected. We can have that sign back that tells us, you know, we're connected to God. We're restored to a relationship with God. And in some ways, well, I don't know about you, but when I lose connection to the internet, it's what do you do? And Gary's standard mantra is, well, you turn the router off and you turn it back on again. And usually 9 times out of 10 that works. You know, but really, there's not very much I can do. Sometimes, you know, you lose connection with the server or whatever because of their fault. And until they restore it, there's nothing much you can do about it. And in that sense, you know, we were reconnected to God because of what God did. We couldn't do it ourselves, but he did everything that was needed to restore that connection. And all we've got to do now is accept that his work of redemption is all that we need to be reconnected to God. But of course, that's not the end of the story of our connection to God. That's the beginning. And sometimes, you know, we feel that perhaps our connection has become faded. Maybe we feel that God is no longer as close as he once was. And of course, that's a little bit like when you're driving a car. You know, you take it for granted that you're going to turn that key on the car or whatever device you've got now, and it will start, the engine will start. But of course, it isn't always like that. Sometimes we have a flat battery, or, you know, things aren't working, or sometimes the connections on the battery aren't working. Now, again, I would have no clue of what to do at that point, but Gary informs me, you know, that if the battery terminal connections aren't in good condition, then the electrical current can't flow through them, and so that's why your car won't start. And so you've got to, you know, clean them, essentially. Everything's got to be free from dirt and from corrosion, and if there's any green or white powdery deposits, you've got to get rid of those. It's hard to do these days in modern cars, isn't it? But I can remember when we were first married, you know, Gary cleaning those connections, you know, and working on it. And in the same way, Paul says to the Philippians, continue to work out your salvation with fear and trembling. Philippians 2, verse 12. Continue to work out your salvation. And he reminds them that we don't have to do that by ourselves, because he says it's God who works in you to will and to act in order to fulfill his good purpose. So I suppose really what I'm talking about today is, you know, what does it mean to work out your salvation then? You know, how do we maintain that ongoing connection to God? How do we, you know, actually keep our battery connections clean, so to speak? And of course, that's what, you know, Deuteronomy chapter 30 was talking about in a way, because it started off in verse 11 saying, what I am commanding you today is not too difficult for you or beyond your reach. Now, I'm not very tall, so most of my life's been spent trying to reach things, you know, that I can't reach. You know, I stopped growing vertically when I was 11 years old. My dad thought I was going to be quite tall like he is, and that was it. No, I was tall at 11, and everybody else just carried on growing, and I just stayed the same height. So, you know, most of the things in my house I can't reach unless I've got steps or ladders or something like that to get to them. And it's quite frustrating. You know, I can't reach things at the supermarkets if they're on high shelves. Got to ask somebody, you know, to get them for me. And quite often, you know, because things are high up, I just think, oh, well, I can't be bothered, you know. So I've got loads of things on top shelves that I don't use very much because I can't really be bothered to get the ladders out to get them. But that's not what it's like. You know, we can feel that sometimes. You know, maybe we feel, well, God's asking a bit too much of us, isn't he? You know, and we think, well, I can't be bothered then. But Moses says, no, what I'm commanding you today is not too difficult. It's not beyond your reach. So maintaining our connection to God, deepening that relationship daily with God, isn't just something that's for these super spiritual people. You know, it's not just for a monk or a nun that's, you know, devoted their lives somewhere else and they don't have to, you know, work and raise a family. It's not that at all. It's not just for people who are paid to do Christian work. You know, it's for everybody. You know, it's for all of us, whatever job we've got, whether we've got a family or whether we haven't got a family to look after, you know, maintaining that connection to God should be something that each one of us wants to be doing. And it's not too difficult for us. It's not so high up that we have to say, who will ascend into heaven to get it and proclaim it to us so that we may obey it? It's not so far away that we've got to go over the sea to get it somewhere else. You know, who will cross the sea to get it and proclaim it to us so we may obey it? All we need to maintain that relationship with God is right there before us. Moses said, the word is very near you. It's in your mouth and in your heart so that you may obey it. So really, the first thing I want to say is that, you know, you can do it. You can maintain your relationship, your connection with God if we want to, yeah? We've got to want to do that. And the first thing that we have to understand that if we're going to do that is that the Lord is near. Paul says that, you know, to the Philippians. The Lord is near. He's not somewhere else. He's not a long way away. We don't have to, you know, walk on nails like those, is it the Buddhist monks that do that sometimes, you know, because they think that that's going to help them get nearer to God. We don't have to chase a blessing by going somewhere else. You know, James says, come near to God, and he will come near to you. And we've got to be willing to draw near to God, yeah? We've sometimes got to, you know, declutter our lives so that we can draw near to God. But if we come near to God, he will draw near to us. So the first step to maintaining that connection to God is just drawing near, coming close to God. And the Psalms are full of reassurances that if we do this, if we come near to God, then God is there. You know, it's nothing to do with our goodness. God's especially close to us, perhaps, when we feel that he's furthest away. You know, in those difficult times when we perhaps feel abandoned. You know, Psalm 34, verse 18 says, the Lord is close to the brokenhearted and saves those who are crushed in spirit. Psalm 119, verse 151 says, you are near, Lord, and all your commands are true. You know, so often, when our relationship with God seems corroded, perhaps, and distant, you know, maybe we've let things come in that God doesn't want. And we tend to sort of want to hide away from God at those times because we know that we're not as close as we used to be. And we don't want him to challenge us. We don't want him to challenge our sinfulness. Maybe we just feel so ashamed that we daren't come close to him. But if we're going to maintain connection, we've got to come close. You know, keeping our distance is good when you're driving a car on the road. You know, it's not good if you're tailgating and you're getting too close to the car in front of you. But keeping your distance from God isn't a good thing. He's near to everybody who call on him in truth. And the book of Hebrews talks about the fact that Jesus has made this better way for us than all the Old Testament sacrifices, and says we've got a better hope by which we can draw near to God. So we can approach the throne of grace with confidence. We can come even with boldness because we've got that restored relationship. And if we draw near to God, Hebrews says that we receive mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need. So it's not the other way around, you know, that we're pushed away and God doesn't want anything more to do with us. He welcomes us in and he gives us the grace and the mercy that we need. So really, you know, the first thing we need to do is not be listening to those lies of the enemy that say, you know, oh, you're too unworthy, you shouldn't go. You know, he won't want you, he'll push you away, you've done too much now, you know, it's no good. We can draw near to God with a sincere heart, with the full assurance that faith brings, having our hearts sprinkled to cleanse us from a guilty conscience and having our bodies washed with pure water, the writer to the Hebrews says. So, yeah, that's fine. We think, okay, yeah, we're going to come near to God. And then, of course, the next question is, well, how? How do I do that? You know, what does it look like? And we're studying in our Bible studies the book of Acts, and I think this sort of shows us what the early church did to maintain that connection with God and with each other. And in Acts 2, verse 42, it says, they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship, to the breaking of bread and to prayer. And I think essentially those are the key ingredients to draw near to God. If we do those things, then that helps us to draw near to him. So the first one, fellowship. Okay, when we come near to God, I mean, it sounds a bit of a personal thing, doesn't it? You can do that on your own, wherever you are. Yeah, of course you can. And we need that personal, individual drawing near to God. But there's also that corporate element. As I say, we need both the horizontal and the vertical. Every one of us needs that personal connection. But the New Testament talks about this connection with God as a body, you know, everybody together with fellowship. Now, you know, to be quite frank with you, I'd much prefer it if I didn't have to do this bit, because I'm actually an introvert by nature and I quite like being on my own. I'm much better in that sense, you know, than when I'm surrounded by loads of other people. But if I want to be biblical, I can't do that. You know, fellowship is what God tells us is the normal way for Christians to be. We're living stones, we're being built into this spiritual house to be a holy priesthood. We're called the body of Christ. So if we actually want to maintain that connection with God, we've got to be prepared to do that with other people, to be part of a body of Christ. We've got to be devoted to fellowship. And that means sharing our lives, sharing our talents, our homes, our lifestyles, our possessions. Because we need each other's input and understanding of God if our connection to him isn't going to become weirdly personal. You know, we can all have, you all know these people who've got some very strange ideas about God. And that's probably because they just, you know, that's what they think. And that's it. You know, they don't really find out whether that's a true understanding of who God is. You know, it's just their little idea that, oh, God's an alien or something like that. You know, if we're not going to get like that, we need fellowship. And we need each other because we're called to encourage each other and build each other up. Roger and Sue are on holiday today. Roger sent me a text this morning with the verse from Psalm 113 saying, you know, this is the day that the Lord has made. Let's rejoice and be glad in it. It's lovely to get something like that as an encouragement. Hebrews again tells us we've got to think about how we can spur each other on towards love and good deeds, not giving up meeting together as some are in the habit of doing, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching. You know, it's so easy for us to feel like giving up. You know, you might not be feeling very well physically, or you might have had a rough day at work, or, you know, your neighbours have got onto you or something, and so you feel, you know, frustrated. That's when other Christians, you know, can come alongside you and encourage you. But, you know, we know that they can also come along and trip you up. You know, we're not perfect. But we've got to keep on meeting together so that our connection to God can be sharpened, can it be cleaned up, and we can have our connections with each other sharpened and cleaned up. You know, we've all got different viewpoints and different perspectives and different personalities. And, you know, we bring those things to God and then we're challenged and encouraged. You know, we see things differently. At the back of the church, we've got Vincent, the sun bear sculpture that featured at the Arts Festival. He's roaming the community buildings at the moment. And when we knew that he was going to be moving to different buildings, we sort of said, well, how can we explain to this person who walks randomly into the library why there's this weird-looking decoupage bear there? You know, what? How can we sort of tell the story? And I was sort of thinking about plaques, you know, next to him and all this, and somebody just, you know, thinking, oh, goodness, that's going to be a bit expensive, isn't it, getting a wooden, a metal plaque or something. How do I do that? And somebody said, well, why don't we just hang a honeypot book round his neck that tells people the story? I was like, yeah, that's a much better idea. I would never have thought about that idea, but somebody else had, you know, a different perspective. Proverbs 27:17 says, as iron sharpens iron, so one person sharpens another. We need other people to help us to understand God better. And that's not always easy. You know, it's easy enough when everybody's, you know, encouraging you and stimulating you. But God wants us to persevere with each other and with fellowship, you know, even when we're infuriated with each other, even when we're wounded, even when we're confused. You know, Peter, the one that was, you know, so annoyed by other people that, you know, he asked Jesus how many times he was expected to forgive them, clearly thinking that he'd already, you know, done it too many times. He ultimately went on to write, love each other deeply because love covers over a multitude of sins. And our connection to God can never be divorced from our connection to people. Yeah? God, when people came to Jesus and asked him, you know, what's the greatest commandment? He didn't just stop at the love the Lord your God with all your heart and soul and mind and strength. He said, and love your neighbour as yourself. We can't separate the two things at all. And John said, you know, that's how God's love is made perfect in us. Don't run away from God and don't run away from God's people. You know, we're not perfect and we do sin every day. But if we want to have that pure connection to God, we've got to be devoted to God's people too. And not just, you know, with people who are like us, not just those to whom we're naturally drawn. We've got to love all of God's people, no matter what. And then, we've got to do even more. We've got to love our enemies then. And show God's love to those outside the family of God. But it's got to start with fellowship. And another thing that it tells us in Acts we've got to be devoted to is prayer. Gary brought this verse at a prayer meeting on Thursday. You know, we've got to be devote yourselves to prayer, being watchful and thankful. You know, prayer is probably that first way that we draw near to God, because as we pray, we're involved in conversation with him. It could be conversation out loud, you know, like I'm speaking now, or it could be silent. And it can take lots of different forms. It can be singing or crying or talking or yelling or, you know, groaning even sometimes without words. And sometimes we don't find it easy to talk to God. We feel a bit self-conscious about it, a bit strange, you know. We can't see him there, so it feels strange to talk to somebody who's not visible. But it becomes easier. The more you do it, the easier it becomes. And God's our Father. We can come to him as dearly loved children. He's our friend, so we can talk to him about anything. You know, we can just chat about whatever. At the moment, I'm in a conversation that says, please, Lord, help me to find these keys that I've lost, that somebody else needs. You know, we can talk about anything. We can use set prayers to pray, you know, that other people have written down for us. We can read the prayers in the Bible and say those, or we can just make our own prayers up, our own words. It doesn't really matter what form of prayer we use, but what matters is that we've got this honest, ongoing, regular communication with God, a communication that involves listening as well as talking, and one where we're willing to hear what God's saying to us as well as say what we want to say. And again, prayer is something that is personal and corporate. You know, it's good to pray on your own, to go into the room, to shut the door, you know, to pray. That's the foundation of our spiritual connection to God. And without it, you know, we do find that things will corrode pretty quickly. But it's good to join with others to pray. You know, it's good to stand together as a group of people who are committed to seeing God's kingdom come and his will be done in this area. To be a church who will come together to pray because we're convinced that God hears and answers prayer. You know, if we want to sharpen that connection to God, we've got to pray more. There's no two ways about it. We've got to pray more individually and, you know, as a group of people together. And the apostles and the early church devoted themselves, you know, to the apostles' teaching. The apostles were responsible for teaching God's word. And we don't get very far in our connection to God if we try to do it without relying on God's word. God's word is given to us as a lamp for our feet, as a light to our path. Yeah, it's there to guide us, to lead us into truth, to teach us, to rebuke us, to correct us, to train us in righteousness. It's a word that explains things to us. It reveals God to us. It uncovers things. And it teaches us the ways of God. You know, without God's word, we wouldn't know what God is like. We just imagine things and we'd have no way of knowing whether that was right or not. But Paul says to Timothy that the Holy Scriptures are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. There's lots of verses, you know, in the Bible about God's word being unfolding light to us, you know, teaching different things to us. We need God's word. And it's not just so that we can be knowledgeable for knowledge's sake. It's not so that we've got the answers to every question that anybody asks us, because we will never have all the answers to all the questions. But the more we delve into the Bible, the more we become wise for salvation. And I think we need to do that individually and corporately. All of us need to read the Bible for ourselves. And, you know, to be honest, that's never been easier than it is now. You know, you can read the Bible in book form in many different versions. You can have it on your phone, you can have it on your tablet or whatever. You can access, you know, different versions, different languages even, if you want to. You know, there's so many ways that we can read the Bible, so many reading plans out there for how to read it in a year, you know, all these different things. But what we need to remember is that the Bible's a living word. It's not just a book. And so, you know, we've got to have that connection to the living word if we're going to maintain our connection to God. You know, read the Bible daily. I hope you're all doing that. You know, read it, open it, study it, listen to it. If, you know, you can have audio Bibles as well, and absorb it. But, you know, we also need, you know, to be taught. You know, we can learn from reading the Bible and discussing it together. As I say, Psalm 119, 130 tells us that the unfolding of your word gives light. And the Message version of that verse says, break open your words. You know, let the light shine out. Let ordinary people see the meaning. And have any of you, particularly those of you with children, seen concertina books? Yeah? So the concertina book is like, you know, it looks like an ordinary book to start with, and you fold, you unfold it, and as you sort of bring it out, it's got usually these lift the flap things and everything for children to make it more exciting for them, you know. And those sort of books, they get longer and longer, and you find out more about them as you open them up. And the Bible's like that. The Bible's like the biggest concertina book you could ever hope to find. The more you read it, the more you discover is in there. And, you know, the Bible is not just for scholars. It's not just for people who understand Hebrew and Greek and have got degrees. It's for everyone. You know, men have died over that principle. When the Bible was first printed in English, people like Tyndale and Wycliffe were killed for translating it into English. Yeah? Yeah, and getting it into the hands of the common man. And yet now, you know, we've got them and we just ignore them a lot of the time. We just stick it on a bookshelf and, it, you know, we don't pick it up. You know, we need to be people of the Word if we're going to be people of God. And the last thing that it talked about in Acts 2 for maintaining connection is the breaking of bread. You know, this simple act of receiving the bread and the wine in remembrance of Christ's death anchors us to the centrality of the gospel in a way that nothing else can. Christ crucified is the heart of Christianity. And as we take and eat the bread and take and drink the wine, we remember Christ's death until he comes again. And without that, we can easily become uprooted, swayed by whatever particular opinions going around at the time. You know, we need that connection to God, and we've got to align ourselves with life as God sees it. And that means constantly realigning ourselves with God rather than trying to fit him into our way of doing things. You know, God's the centre of the universe. We're not. Esther is still discovering this. She still believes that she's the centre of the universe. And until she actually loses that misconception, she's not really going to get very far. Because she's not. God is the centre of the universe. Jesus is before all things. In him, all things hold together. Yet, you know, if we're honest, we're all a bit like Esther. We all like to be at the centre of our own lives. We like to be sitting on the throne, you know. But it's the cross that stands above it all. And, you know, Paul says when he's talking about the Last Supper, you know, that he's giving us the fundamentals of the faith. The Lord Jesus, on the night he was betrayed, took bread. When he'd given thanks, he broke it and he said, "This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way, after supper, he took the cup, saying, This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this whenever you drink it in remembrance of me. We need to be people who remember what God's done. It's why we think it's important to take communion on a weekly basis. And it's good to do this collectively, because again, that reminds us that salvation isn't just for, you know, me personally. It's for the whole world. So, how do we maintain our connections with God? Well, first of all, we said, remember that God's near you. Yeah? He wants you to draw near to him. He's at work in you to fulfill his purpose. You don't have to work out your salvation on your own. Yeah? He wants us not just to be connected once and then lose it. He wants us to be connected all the time. And we draw near to God through the apostles' teaching, through fellowship, through the breaking of bread, and through prayer. Yeah, those are the key things to stay near to God. And if we do that, then we strengthen both in our vertical connection to God and in the horizontal connection to God's family, to our brothers and sisters in Christ. And ultimately, realise that you've got a choice. Moses set before the people of God choices, and he said, choose life so that you and your children may live and that you may love the Lord your God, listen to his voice, and hold fast to him. You know, that's the purpose of attending to those four practices of the apostles' teaching, fellowship, breaking of bread, and prayer. Choosing life. We do those things so that we can love God more, so that we can listen to his voice more, so that we can hold fast to him. And as we do those four things, then the purpose is to listen and to love and to hold fast to God. And if we do that, then our connection with him is maintained, and our connection with other people is maintained, and we know his presence working daily inside each one of us. Amen. Thanks, Gary.
Thank you.